You're listening to Amud Vechazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Erev and Daf Chaf. Sorry, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. However, we will start on Chaf Tes Amud Beis at the bottom. The siman for Daf Lamed is a Melamed, a Rebbe. So we'll see the application. We have one Zikru point for tonight on our Amud, and at least where we're going to get up to, Mirtz Hashem. But let's start from Chaf Tes Amud Beis, which is the cot. If you remember the cot, the guy is the indecisive Erev maker is sitting on his cot with five apricots, peaches, and a cob of apples. Okay, the whole thing over there. So let's take a look at the two dots, five lines from the bottom. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol Shehu Liftan Kedei Lechol Bo. Anything that is Liftan, which is something that goes along with bread. Kedei, so what meaning like something that you would eat with bread? So what's the amount? Kedei le'echol bo. The amount of the meal would be consist of the amount that you would use for that. Like let's say it was some sort of vegetables that you I don't know, like let's say lettuce that you would put on a sandwich. So it would be the amount of lettuce that you would use with the sandwich. Kol she'eino liftan, but anything that is not considered something that is eaten with bread. So let's say, I don't know, fruits, which are not, let's assume from that now that they're not typically eaten with bread. So kedei le'echol heimenu. So it's how much you would eat from them, which is going to be a greater shear. Meaning in order to constitute a meal, then it would be a meal's worth of these foods because they're not usually eaten with bread. But if this is the type of thing, right? Like for example, before we're talking about like even a revius of wine is considered a meal for this purpose because that's usually the amount of wine that is had with a meal, a revius. And so we have two meals, so two revius. So that's as we said on our Amud. So here too, when it comes to things that go along with bread, it's just the amount of food you would have along with bread. Like we have imaginary bread for our meal, and this much lettuce or whatever else. But if it's food that's not eaten with bread, then that itself needs to be enough that it would count as a meal. So that's the teaching over here. Now the question is, what about basar chai? What about raw meat? Presumably not completely raw, but we're not talking about like thin cooked deli slices that easily go on in a sandwich, but something that's a little bit more challenging to eat. So kedei lechol heimenu, that is not eaten with bread, so that's going to be you need an amount of basar chai that would count as a meal, right? The reason I say that, by the way, is that it can't be completely raw meat. Or presumably not completely raw meat, because that's not really fit for a meal. So it'd have to be at least cooked a little bit, I presume. Basar tzli, however, what if it's roasted meat? It's cooked meat. So that's a machlokas. Rabba amar kedei lechol bo, v'Rav Yosef amar kedei lechol heimenu. Rabba says that that's something that is, but like raw meat is, cooked meat, roasted meat is typically eaten with bread. So then you only need the amount that you would eat with bread. Rav Yosef says, no, that also, it would be a meal on its own. And I'm not sure if there's a distinction between tzli and mavushal or any other type of preparation. Looks like it's as opposed to chai, and that's the halacha. The assumption, and so Amar of Yosef, mina amin Allah. So where do I say this from? Meaning he seems to indicate that meat on its own is its own suda. It's not really considered a liftan for bread or at least sometimes. So amin Allah, dahani parsai achli tavhaki below nahama. Because these Persians eat this type of meat without bread. Nahama's bread. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye said to him, "Uparsai havu rubad alma." So wait. So because some Persians eat it this way, so that's going to be rubad alma also. That the majority of the world, and we're going to apply this case of individual Persians, and we're going to apply it to everybody and say that's the standard way for everybody to eat, and therefore halachas are going to go according to that. V'hotanan, but we learned in a Mishnah, bigdei aniyim le'aniyim, bigdei ashirim le'ashirim, that the clothing of aniyim will become tame for aniyim. So if this, if you remember all the way back on Chav Zayin, in Chavav and Chav Zayin in Shabbos, where we learned about clothing, pieces of cloth that are three etzbaos or three tefachim, right? We say if it's three etzbaos, it could be mekabel tuma, because that's like the type of the clothing that that aniyim wear. So I think we learned that over here too. No, so it doesn't source it over there, but it's because it's really a Mishnah quoted from somewhere else. Over here, so big daniyim laniyim, big dashirim lashirim. So we differentiate between different types of clothing for different types of people. Avo big dashirim, continuing until lamed of an aleph, big dashirim laniyim lo. But if it's the clothing of rich people, meaning larger ones, to aniyim, and meaning aniyim have them, they're wearing this, so it would not be. Rashi says kolomar laniyim lo beinan big dashirim. That since it's fitting for them, we go according to them. Meaning that, as Rashi continues, Hachanami afal gabdil farsai lav liftanhu. So even though according to the Persians, meat is not a liftan, rather meat is like it's its own seuda. It's not like, I don't know if condiment is the word, but like something that goes along with bread. Kevan dili didan have a liftan. But since to them it's a liftan, nisage b'shir zuta. So there it should be enough for everybody else to have a smaller shear. Meaning the Persians eating meat by itself now requires a larger amount of meat to be the shear. But that shouldn't be machai to everybody else. And we bring this case of the begadim to indicate that just because some people have a certain standard, other people might have a different standard. You know, we are mechalik between different groups of people for halachas like this. So that's what Abai is trying to assert. V'chi teiman, if you're going to say hacha lechumra v'hacha lechumra, so if, maybe you'll tell me that, you know, well, we will only differentiate when it comes to, we'll only make a chilik if it's going to be a chumra. Right here in the case of tuma, it's going to be a chumra that we're going to impose the stringency of smaller amounts, right? The smaller amount of clothing, and maybe we should also be lechumra when it comes to the requirement for the eruv. So over here, we're not going to differentiate between Persians who eat meat by itself and everybody else because we want to come out with a chumrah. So that's the suggestion. So don't learn that, you know, across the board we differentiate or we don't differentiate between different groups. It's just whenever we have a chumrah, we're looking for a chumrah. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be. V'hotanya, if you're going to say that, v'chitema, so v'hotanya, but we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, ma'arvin l'chol l'zakin k'dei mezono, that we make an eruv for a chol and for a zakein, according to what he eats, meaning a smaller amount. Usually a chol or a zakein eat less than the average person. So there will be a smaller shear for these types of people. Ularaavtan b'seuda beinonis. And for a raavtan, somebody who is who has a very large appetite, so a suda beinonis, beinonis shel kol adam. That we assume that it has a suda beinonis for everybody, meaning that even though he has a very large appetite, we're not gonna say so his shear of erva needs to be much bigger. Rather, we call it like the average suda. So clearly we see that. So therefore, we see that even if somebody has a very large appetite, we're not going to go l'chumra. We say suda beinonis, and for a zakin and a chola, we do differentiate because these people eat less. So the Gemara concludes, kasha is actually a kasha to Rabbi Yosef's approach, right? Rabbi Yosef tried to say that maybe meat, even if it's cooked meat, is not considered a liftan, and you need a full, you know, meal's worth of meat because the Persians do it this way, but that doesn't seem to make sense because we usually see often that we differentiate in halacha. We see that we see over here, Rabbi Shimon Elazar differentiates between a zaken and a cholan. He doesn't go the chumra for a ravdan, and we see that we differentiate between ashirim and aniyim when it comes to the clothing. So therefore, we should definitely differentiate between Persians who eat meat by itself and everybody else. So maybe we can say for Persians we'll have a chumra, maybe, and that they require a larger shear of meat. But definitely not something that we would impose that upon anybody else. So the Gemara asks, does Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar really say this? Seemingly that we would that we do make such differentiations. Right, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hachli v'hatanya, but we learned in a brisa that maybe that's not the case. And this is a brisa, maybe it's a brisa or a mishnah in Olos. It's a brisa elaborating on a mission of Olos, and it's going to be hard to say that Rabbi Shimon Elazar says regarding the Ravton that we go with a Suda Beinonis. Why don't we go according to it's hard to believe that Rabbi Shimon Elazar would say that based on the following case. But Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Og Melech HaBashan Pislo Kimiloo, that Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that Og Melech HaBashan, his opening is like its fullness, meaning that when it comes to, okay, so this is a discussion in Oholos, where there's a, if there is a corpse lying in a house, and if there are doorways or openings that are 4x4 tvachim, so all of them, all of those doorways become tame because of the corpse in the house, because the person could be brought out of any of those doors. If there's only one door that's 4x4 tefach and then a bunch of smaller ones, so then that would not be the case. If they're smaller than 4x4 tefach, then only the 4x4 tefach one would be it, because clearly that's the one that's big enough and designated for the corpse to go through. If you have a bunch of, if all the openings are smaller than 4x4, then any one of them could be subject to all of them will be tame, these passageways. So the question is, what if you have Og Melech HaBashan's corpse lying in the house? So we don't exactly know how big he is. We know that there's a Nagadic statement. I think we mentioned it in Brachos Nun Dalid Amid Beis, if I remember correctly. We speak about to some degree the Og size there. Whether he was really that large, hundreds of feet tall, or over 100 feet tall, where his ankle was, or whatever it is, whether we take that literally or not, we definitely know that he is a very large man. Now, we're not necessarily talking about Og Melech HaBashan himself, because he wasn't Jewish, and it's complicated how the laws of Tumah and Tahara apply to Goyim and their ability to transmit Tumah. But it's an example of a very large person. So let's say you have this very large person, and its opening is kimaloo. So that means that the only doorway that's going to be tame. Let's say there's one doorway that is large enough for Og's body to be brought out of, and the other doorways, even if they're 4x4 tefachim, so the only one that's considered his door. Meaning that if it's his door, his doorway, that means that he's going to be brought out through that one. So only it's the one that's large enough for him to put. Meaning typically, if we have a corpse lying in the house again, then all of the doorways that are 4x4 tefachim are going to be considered pischo. They're considered his doorway because any one of them could be used to take the body out. Right, which the way it works is that the tumah automatically goes into the doorway because we know that the body is going to be taken out. So if you have one doorway that's only one doorway that's large enough to get Og out of there, and these other doorways, even if they're 4x4 tefachim, only pischo kimelo, only the only thing that's his door is the one that's that's wide enough for him to come out of. So over here we see that it's this is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and he seems to differentiate between a particularly large corpse and a regular corpse. So why would he say earlier that in the case of Erev, that a Ravdan, someone with a massive appetite, we judge him with a Suda Beinonis? So the Abaye, so like what Abaye would seemingly respond, because Abaye was the one who brought the differentiation by the cases of the clothing of a Shirim and Aniyim. So Hasam Hechi La'avid. So there, no, it's different in this case of all of those. How are we supposed to do it? Hadume nadame v'nafke, should we like cut him apart right? And Rashi says, Yinaschuhu levarim, should we cut him into pieces and bring him out? Meaning that he's saying, in a very practical way, like, we're going to be taking him through only one of these doors. It just doesn't make any sense to say that, you know, Og's body is going to be brought through one of the 4x4 tefach doors. That doesn't make sense to say, and it doesn't make sense to call any of those doorways his door, because the only way to bring it out is to cut his body into pieces. However, I guess going back to the case of the Rav Tan, you could say that, yeah, he's someone with a very large appetite, but we can still say that maybe a small, like, you know, a bainanus meal would constitute a meal for him. You know, sometimes he's not so hungry or whatever, but it's completely impractical to say in the case of Og that the 4x4 tefach door, that's also pischo, that's also his doorway. Clearly only the one that's large enough will be his door, and therefore it's not a contradiction within the logic of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Yibai Luhu, they asked to him, I guess maybe Abaye, Pligi Rabbanan alei de Rav Shimon ben Elazar, olo. Do the Rabban, right? We see Rav Shimon ben Elazar in this case of Og Melech HaBashan, he states his opinion. So does that mean that the Rabbanan argue on him, or maybe they don't? So Tashma, coming to hear a proof, to Rabba Bar Chanan or Yochanan, that Rabba Bar Chanan said in the name of Yochanan, presumably quoting a Tanayic opinion, a Bryce or a Mishnah from somewhere, Og Melech HaBashan Pischo Bar Ba, that Og Melech HaBashan's doorway is a four tefachim. Now, if it's four tefachim, for sure Og Melech HaBashan's body is not fitting through there. And we see over here that even though it's only four tefachim, it's considered pischo and it becomes tameh, so it seems to go against the teaching of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, because Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that it's only considered pischo if it's kimeloo, if he's going to fit through. But if it's only four tefachim, how can we call it pischo? So it must be that they argue with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Hasam to ikah pesachim ketanim. Tuva v'gachad d'havi arba. So it's different over here. When do we say that only a small four tefach opening is going to be his pesach? That's where there's pesachim ketanim tuva. There's a lot of pesachim, a lot of small pesachim, smaller than four tefachim, and chad d'havi arba. And then there's one that's 4x4 tefachim. So if you have a bunch of small ones, and then you have one larger one that's four tefachim, so devadai kimaravach, because you have to get the body out of there. So what are you going to do? You're for sure going to widen one of the doorways. So ki kamaravach, when you come to widen it, bahu kamaravach, it's clearly he's going to be widening the four tefach, the four tefach doorway, right? If you're going, once you know you have to get to the widening process, so for sure you're not going to choose the smaller holes, you're going to choose that one. So the four tefach opening is going to be automatically designated as pischo. That's going to be the one that we bring Og through. And even though it's only four tefachim, that becomes pischo because the smaller ones are presumably not going to be that. Okay. And therefore, we see, so this is not a contradiction. This could be Rav Shimon ben Elazar as well. Meaning Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, when is it, it's pischo kimeloo, only when it's large enough to take him out. Right. But if there's a four tefach hole and a bunch of much smaller holes, then in that case, the four tefach hole will become pischo. Okay, moving on. Amar Rav Chiya bar Rav, Ashi Amar Rav, Ma'arvin bebasar chai, that we can make an Erev with raw meat. Amarav Shimi Barchia, Ma'arvin Bebeitzim Chayos. And we can also make an Erev with raw eggs. Raw eggs, I guess, are edible in some certain, I don't know, some like, tough guys do that for their workouts, having raw eggs, so it's something that you can do. The Kama, how much? Amarav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, so it's, I guess, two ways to read this next thing. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says Achas and Sinai Omar Shtayim. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says one and Sinai says two. So it could be a machlokas, or it could be Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is quoting maybe Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Sinai Omar Shtayim. It could be Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is quoting Sinai and he's quoting Sinai as saying two, and that is and it's not a machlokas. So I'm not sure. I guess it's two different guesses whether we read the Achas or not. Who is Sinai? So Rashi says over here, Kari Rav Yosef, Lefi Shaya Baki, B'mishnayis V'raisos. Rav Yosef was called Sinai because he was a master of Mishnayis and Braisos. This we learned on Bracha Samach Dalid, that the concept of the Oker Harim and a Sinai. There's a type of learner who knows like everything. He's called Sinai. And there's another type that's Oker Harim that has good kashas and good understanding and svara. And that was Rabba's personality, Rav Yosef's partner. So we're talking about Rav Yosef over here. Okay. Hanoder min hamazon muter b'mayim. So we learned in our Mishnah that somebody who takes it, right, I think on the Chaf Zayin, somebody who takes a, or maybe Chaf Zavav on the base, maybe, someone who takes a neder from mazon, from sustenance, so he's allowed to have water and he's allowed to have salt. So the Gemara says, melech u'mayim hudalo ikri mazon. So the implication over here is that water and salt are not considered mazon. That's not the implication. That's said straight out. The implication is that everything else, anything that's not water and not salt, is called mazon. So say this is a refutation to the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. The Rav and Shmuel don't retarvayu you ain't varchin boremi nemazonos ella al chameshas haminim bilvad. Because Rav and Shmuel say that you only make a mazonos on the five grains alone, nothing else. That's Gemara and Bracha Staf Lamed Vav, right? I remember the lulav, and so we it's in a porridge. So they say that there. It could be they say it a little bit earlier as well, and we discussed it a few times in Maseches Brachos, that the only things that you say that are considered mazonos are the five grains. So this is a refutation, because this says anything but water and salt would be mazon, and therefore you should make a mazonos. The Gemara says, v'lo asvina chada zimna, but didn't we already reject them earlier in Maseches Brachos? We challenged them, and we included rice in the mix, that rice, orez, is also, at least some, you know, modernly accepted as rice, and it's passing the halacha that we hold rice is mazonos as well. So the Gemara says, le metave tiyuftanami meha. So say, this is also refutation. Say, we refuted them over there in Brachos, and we refuted them again over here in our Mishnah. So Omer Rav Huna, says, no, it's not a refutation to them over here. But Omer kol hazon alai ma'im o'melech hu delo, right? We should understand this Mishnah as someone who says, hazon alai, that's like, satiate me, really. Right? Meaning I'm taking a neder that I'm not going to be satiated, so he can have water and salt. Because hudalozaini. Right? So mayim u'melech hudalozaini. Water and salt is not like a satiating thing. Hakol mili zaini. But everything else is satiating. But it's not the same as, I guess, like mazon would be like nourishing. So we're differentiating between things that are considered mazon. This is like a, I mean, I'm using like similar words, satiating, sustaining, nourishing, satisfying, but there's like a higher level of mazon, which is like a nourishing food, and there are other things that could satiate you, that, you know, like, okay, so I'm not really hungry right now, but it's not like a nourishing type of sustenance. So there would be three levels. There's things that are really mazon. You say bremen mazonos, that's the five grains, and maybe we could add rice. And then there are things that are satiating, like, I don't know, they fill me up if I'm hungry, but water and salt are not on that list. And that's what we should understand this Mishnah, and this Mishnah is not going against Rav and Shmuel. V'hama Rabba Babarchana, kihava azilna basrei, derebi Yochanan, but Rabba Babarchana says that when we would go after derebi Yochanan, Lamecha Peri de Genosar, we would go after Rabbi Yochanan. Another shout out to Maseches Brachos and Daf Mem Dal. We learned about the Peros of Genosar, these special delicious fruits of Genosar. Kevinan Bay. So when they would go after him, like in Genosar, they would go with him. Kevinan Bay Mea. When there are 100 of us, Hava Mektinan Lachochad V'Chada Sara Sara. So each of the 100 of us would collect 10 of these Peros Genosar. So we had 1,000 in all, 10 times 100. Kevinan Bay Asarab. And when there were only 10 of us who would go with Rabbi Yochanan, Hava Mektinan Lachochad V'Chad Mea Mea. So each of us would collect 100. So we'd come out with the same number. All of us would bring back 1,000 for him. V'Chol Mea Minayhu. Lo have a machzik luhut sana bas tosa savai, or it could be lowest, or it could be it's not. Meaning, and for all of us, these hundreds that we had would, you know, so maybe like maybe there were some small fruits. No, it would fill up, or wouldn't even fill up a basket of three seya. So we're talking about like large fruits here. So we're talking about he would have 1,000 large fruits. And Rav Yochanan would eat all of them. The Amar, and then he would say, Shvuasa? He's like, I swear, the low time li ziuna, I didn't taste any nourishment, right? He would eat 1,000 fruits and they were not sustaining for him. So this seems to go against the thought that everything but water and salt is sustaining. It sounds like these fruits are not. So the Gemara says, Ema Mizona. Rather, understand it as not Ziyuna, but Mizona. That he would say, no, of course I'm full. I'm satiated from these 1,000 fruits. But it wasn't like the sustenance, the nourishment provided by one of the 5 grains. Okay. Amar Rav Huna. Amar Rav. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Shvua shalo ochel kikar zu, marvin la ba kikar zu. Now I'm going to end the recording here and send the rest in a second recording.